Thank you, Rishabhti. Thanks, Nidia. Amen. Hello, everybody. It's a blessing to be here today, as always. It's great to see everybody. It's nice to have you all here. For those of you that do not know me yet, my name is Reinald Pieterse. I'm not the pastor here. I am a elder of the church. And I have the privilege of bringing you the Word of God this morning. So I'm really looking forward to sharing what's on my heart and what the Lord has been laying on my heart this past week and just what He would like to share with you. And it's just amazing to be here and just for that privilege. Just ask me, just close our eyes quickly. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this privilege, Lord, of being in your house, Father, watching you build your house, Lord God. And just receiving your house as well, Father, just as you did this morning, Lord God, we can just worship you, Father, and just come into your presence, Lord God, and just experience that awesome, awesome God that you are, Lord God, that it is something that we cannot describe, Father, we cannot comprehend, Lord God, but we can feel it in our hearts, Lord God. It's something so amazing, so supernatural, Father, that just the way that you touch our hearts, Lord God, that you anoint our hearts and our minds, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning, Lord, of bringing your word to your people, Father. I ask that you would guide me by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would just put the words in my mouth, Lord, that you would guide my heart and my mind, Lord, and everything that I say, Lord, will go forth and complete, Father, what you've called it to do, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, for your amazing love, Lord, your amazing grace, and anything we can receive from your amazing love, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Carl is not here this morning. He's actually off, but he's also a bit sick, so we've prayed for him already, and we pray for him and his family. We pray that he will recuperate quite quickly. We're also looking forward to the mission team from where? Paro. There's so many of them coming, I'm losing track of all of them that are coming, but the ones that were here has left already. They are from Malmesbury, I think. Booster. Okay, my mom's been still coming. So, amen. But yeah, they left us yesterday, and we are looking forward to them coming. They are arriving, I think, at 4 o'clock somewhere. They slept over at Kidma's Whoop. So we are really looking forward to everything that's happening this month to come as well. The regional conference, the CMI event that's taking place on the 9th of July, so we're really looking forward to seeing you guys there as well. There's some pamphlets at the back if you want to take for some people that you know that would really like to visit the event. It will really be something to see and to experience and just receive, just some God-given input to what the world is slinging at us the whole time. But yes, I just wanted to share something in my heart that actually feels quite relevant for us all as church. And specifically for me, which I have been having quite a tough time the last few weeks, but I think most of us have, as I listen to the people and what things they are going through and just what they are experiencing, it seems it's something that's, I don't know, maybe this time of year everybody's getting in there halfway through the year and just feeling, this is getting really tough to keep the pace up that we are running at. And for me, it's exactly the same. Really struggled through this week just to get the message that I feel in my heart that I want to get it out. It was really, I had to really spend time. I really had to focus. I really had to say, God, listen, what do you want me to say? I can't just be here, say something that I feel is relevant, but I really feel that God really wants us to share. And it's just His amazing grace that as we come today, people are praying and they're praying the exact scriptures that I want to share with you. And actually like Henning coming to share the offering, and he's just bringing a word, and he could have actually just closed off my sermon. So it's really amazing how God works and just brings all together for the glory of His name. And that is something that I wanted to share, and just how I experienced it. And it's something that for me is so critical for us as Christians. It's just the life of Christ and the way that He lived and who He was and how He did things. And it's just the way that he did it. He was so focused on what he did. And he had to be, because he literally, with every step that he took and every decision that he made, he carried millions of people's lives in his hands. And his decisions would influence us until today. And just the weight that he had to bear to do what he did, to be able to do what he did, is just incomprehensible. When you look at it and how people today slap away those scarred hands and just say, no, thank you, this is not for me, without fully realizing the weight of what they're doing. It is just so incomprehensible. It's mind-blowing, but it's so relevant today that so many people is just missing the heart of Christ completely. And for us as Christians, it's not that far as well, because we are so into church, we are so into being Christians, we just miss the heart of God and the heart of Christ completely. And we try to run and do things on our own strength and our own power, and we just start failing miserably, which I can see in my life, because you just miss that slight command that God gives you, and you just slightly veer off, and you just lose that strength, you lose that momentum, and you just want to try and keep that momentum, but you realize it's not something that you can do yourself. And so many times we just continue, we want to grind, we want to do this, but you just get stuck. You get pulled into the mud and you just realize, Lord, I cannot do this. You have to help me. You have to show me where I am, what I'm doing wrong, and just allow you to direct my feet. And this is exactly what Jesus did. Now, I've tried to sum up Jesus' life in 3 short sentences, which is an impossible thing to do. So this is just my version. It's not the complete version. It's not the comprehensive one. People have written books about Jesus' life, thousands of books, and people with more knowledge and a lot more research than I had. But something that always stood out for me was in Matthew 22, from verses 3:35 to 40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now my question is, how do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind? There's a question that I think most of us, he would struggle to say how you would do this practically. How are you doing it in your daily lives, with your walk with Christ? How do you do this? And I think the one person that was able to do this was Jesus Christ. He did this to complete perfection. He could do this because he was the Son of God, but also because he was righteous and called to do this. And God gave him that ability to do it, and he chose to do it. And that is just something that we as Christians have to realize, that there's an aspect of Jesus who we have to emulate, who we have to follow. And he is the example for us. And it's a difficult example, it might be, but it's still the one that we hold dear, the one that we have to follow. And for Jesus, obedience was one of the key critical factors in his life, which you can see even from a young age. If we look at Luke 2, from verse 49, where basically Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they were busy leaving after this event. In a day's travel back to their home, they realized that Jesus was not among their family or friends that they thought he was. And they turned back to Jerusalem, and they were looking for him for 3 days. Now, as a parent, 3 days spending looking for my child would drive me crazy. I would lose it. And I could just imagine them finding them in the temple, speaking to the priest and the Pharisees, and what are you doing here? And his answer is, he said to them, why did you look for me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And that's just the heart of Jesus, who he was, even from a young age. Now, I tried to put down in 3 short points what I see Jesus, the purpose of Jesus was on earth. And the first one for me was to be obedient to the will of the Father. The second was to do right and good in the sight of the Lord, and to glorify the Father with his life is the third. Now, these 3 points are minimalistic in their essence, but for me it's quite the heart of who Jesus was, because that was the 3 cornerstones on which he built his ministry. He was obedient to God, he did what is right and good, And he wanted to glorify the Father. He didn't want to glorify himself. If he did that, we would not be able to be here today. But because of his heart, his knowledge of who God was, and that he was the Son of God, and he had a purpose and a destiny to fulfill, allowed him just to walk in that path that he had to choose, and to walk in it, and just be obedient, even obedient unto death, which we see in Philippians 2 verse 28, 2 to 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And this is something significant, because even as a man, this was not easy. He still had to go through that choice. He still had to go through being crucified and dying, which was not an easy one, as we see in Matthew 26 from verses 39 to 42. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will, as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "What, could you not even watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Father, if this cup may not pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And this is just his obedience. No matter what the circumstances, he would just obey. If this is what the Father wants, I will obey. And for us as Christians, this is so critical as well. What the Father wants, we have to obey. And to do what is right and good. Now, Jesus was, I think, the most perfect man on this earth, because he did what is right. And as Isaiah 21:6, he came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He wanted to do good. He wanted to lift people up. He wanted to give them something of substance. He wanted to give them healing. Just in this broken world, he wanted to give people hope. And he did that by doing what is right and good. He did miracles for people that was in a hopeless situation. For us, so many people today still, Jesus comes through in a miracle that he does for them in healing, changing their lives around to something so profound that they can just sit back in awe and say, "This is an amazing God we serve. Look from where I came from to where I am now." Now, this is something in the Old Testament that they said as well in Deuteronomy 6, verses 18. "You shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well with you, so that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your forefathers." Now, Jesus is this perfect and good man, but he's also our shepherd, the good shepherd. And this is expressed in John 10:10, from 10 to 11. "The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And this is just the way that Jesus was. And these are the three basic foundations which I believe that God just allowed Jesus to minister from. But he did all of this to glorify the Father, not for any other reason. He wanted to be obedient so he could glorify the Father. And it's something that as God created the earth, that like we spoke about the creation ministries, God created this earth to glorify his name, to glorify him. The reason we are sitting here today, the reason why you're looking as lovely as you do today, is because God created you, each individual, the way you are, in his glory, to glorify his name. And we are created to do that. Because it's actually the one thing that God cannot give to himself is glory. He cannot glorify himself unless we do it, or there's something that glorifies him. So when you look at a flower and it's like, "Yo, this is amazingly beautiful," it just glorifies the Father because he created it. He made this thing do what it's supposed to do for us as human beings as well. He made us the way that we are to do what we do because it glorifies him. But the enemy comes and says, "But I don't want this. I don't want to glorify the Father." So he brought in sin into this world, into our hearts and into our midst, to basically deface that for God and say, "But you cannot use this to glorify you." And that's why he sent his son Jesus, so he can just prepare that and restore that to its former glory, to say, "But this is for the glory of God. This is not because of sin it's been removed and revoked, which it has been. But because of Jesus, he allows it to be restored to its former glory." And for us as human beings, that is so critical as well. Now for us as Christians, what is our purpose? It's exactly the same. To be obedient to the will of the Lord. To do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And to glorify the Lord with our lives. And this might sound simple and simplistic in its way, but And it's not in any way to say that church is not important, prayer is not important, and worship is not important. But if we can do it from these three basic principles, how much more will church be? How much more will worship be? Because if you can worship in that fullness and truth and do what is in your heart, it was so perfect, or not perfect, but it was so beautiful that Johnny came forward. He just felt in his heart and he just shared with somebody and said, listen, God lays it in my heart. And it's just being obedient. Being obedient to what God has called us to do. Being obedient to what God lays in your heart. And no matter what the consequences. Because God calls us to be obedient to Him. And in that obedience becomes the blessing as well. But so many times we come up short. Because we as Christians, we look at the life of Christ and we just realize this is almost impossible for us to do. And it is impossible because Jesus Christ is the righteous Lamb that is perfect in all His ways. And He could do it, but we cannot. And we come so short of that goal, but there's also a blessing in that Jesus came before us. And that is so perfectly put to us in Psalms 23 from verse 1 to 6. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's such a beautiful picture of what David describes for us as Christians as well. The way that we are supposed to do. Now, many times in my life, I make mistakes and I sin. And it's just things that the devil just get a hold of your life and say, but yes, you have to be like Jesus. So why aren't you like Jesus? And I'm like Jesus. And we try to be Jesus to, in a certain sense, which is completely incorrect. We're not supposed to be equal to Jesus, though we are in a sense by grace. But we are trying in our own strength and our own power and our own might to do what Jesus would have done. And we just fail completely and miserably, and the devil just catches us every time and time and again. And you just get that picture of, Lord. And then 23 brings this picture of, we have to follow Him. Jesus is the leader. He shows us how to walk. He shows us where. He directs our paths. We just have to follow in His footsteps. And I just get that picture of running in His footsteps when you're on a beach on a clear sunny day. And it's just perfect conditions. And you can just run because you can see His footsteps a mile away. And you just know there's no fear, no danger. You can just run and enjoy it. But then there are also times when it's really difficult because we as Christians know that this life is not easy. We've not been called and saved to have a life in abundance and everything. There will be times that there are hardships. There will be times that we are tested. There will be times that we really feel, God, where are You? And this is exactly what He says in Psalm as well. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's exactly what we can experience as Christians. We can walk through that valley. But it's that dark enclosure that you feel. You can't see that far ahead anymore. You can just see five footsteps ahead. But you can still follow Jesus because you know this is where He wants me to go. This is where He's leading me. And I can get through this because He's with me. He's showing me where to go. I must just not veer off the path. I must not veer off His footsteps because if I do that, I will get in deep trouble, especially in these circumstances. And we as Christians need just to lift your head. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, I'm struggling. Yes. But where's God? His footsteps are there. You're not there alone. He will show you how to get out of this. It is not that you are there on your own and you have nowhere to go, nothing to do. He's still a good shepherd. He will still leave the 100 that He knows is safe and come and look for the one that's been lost and off the path. And that's just who our God is. He just loves us so much. He cannot let us go. No matter where we are. And that's just the way that we have to follow Jesus. Even though we cannot do it perfectly the way that He did it, He still gives us the grace. He still gives us basically the example to follow. Here's where I've walked. I know you will struggle, but I'm with you. I will help you. I will lead you. I will teach you. And we do not have to fear. And that's just something that in my life, it's you come to think in a certain way of this world, the way the world works. And it's basically your world view, how you look at this world, how the world shapes your mind, how you look at it. And so many times, it just corrupts the way that God intended you to look at this world. Because He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to do what is right and good and to glorify His name. But the world comes and says, but how can you do that if you don't even own a car? If you don't even have an education? How can you do this? You're supposed to marry this guy, or you're supposed to be like this. You have to be this thin. You have to wear that clothes. You have to drive that car. And all of these things is just bombarding us every day. And it's not the way that God wants us to live. Not being under this burden, say, okay, and God just wants to remove that yoke and say, listen, this isn't who I want you to be. This is not how I want you to live. This is not how I want you to think about this. But many times, oh, that's a nice car. Oh, I wish I had that education. Oh, I wish I had a bigger salary. And we just get caught in that trap and just saying, God, this is what you gave me. This is what you're blessing me with. I'm content. Maybe, God, where I'm missing you, because my money is not sufficient for me. I cannot get out per month. What, am I doing something wrong? Is there something you want me to do, something different? Or must I get through this? And you will guide me. You will give me what I need. All this in abundance. Because so many times, yes, Lord, I'm poor. I don't have enough. But you're looking at Pete Pompey's over there, living in a castle, driving his 4x4s, and you have enough. You've got food. You've got a place to live. You have sufficient need. And it's been provided. But our uncontent is just, it's not the right word. We are not content with what we have. But the Lord knows our weaknesses. He knows what where our strengths lie. He knows where we falter a bit. And He's not the one to come and kick somebody that's on the ground down and out. And say, hey, you have to move. You're going to die if you stay here. I'm leaving now. If you don't get up now, you will basically stay here and I will not look back. But that's where His healing hand just comes and touches you on the shoulder and say, listen, we have to go now. This is not a good place for you to be. This is not where I intended for you to stay. You just have to lift your head. Just get that bit of energy and just move forward. And once we get moving, it's just the way that we start running. And that's something that He doesn't want us just to survive in this world. He gave us such an anointing, such a blessing. And when we can flow in that anointing and blessing, it's just an amazing to see how God blesses us and the people around us as well. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to do this. We can just be obedient to God, and He blesses us. And it's such an amazing place to be when you are in that obedience to Christ, and you can flow in it, and God just takes you, and you just say, whoa. And you look back across your life, and you just realize, God took me from that place where I was selfish, arrogant, broken, down, and He's lifting you up. He's giving you, taking you from glory to glory, and that's the way He intended us to be. Although we fail, although we make mistakes, God just wants us to be lifted up, to go from glory to glory, not stay where we are. Even though we're going through hard times. I mean, it was Peter, I think. No, not Peter. Who was it in English? Paulus. When they were in jail. I mean, that's the one place where you can feel, God has abandoned me. I'm in jail. How can I preach the gospel to the world if I'm in jail? But still, they realized who God was, and He's bigger than the circumstances, bigger than whatever they feel or can endure in this life, and they worshiped Him. And God just turns their circumstances around, and He just gives them people that He's supposed to minister to, and it's just people that came to them, and God just uses that circumstances while you're obedient. Lord, this is where you want me to be. I'm not necessarily going to stay here. But you will take me from glory to glory, and you will use this to further your kingdom and for the good of your kingdom. And that is where we have to be, where we have to go. And that is basically what the Lord has laid in my heart. And that is where Henning also basically said, that's so precious for me, it's in Hebrews 12 from verse 1 to 10. I'll only read until 5. Therefore, since we also are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. I'll just read until there. And it's just the way that God just says, listen, there's the standard. This is Jesus. This is what he did. What do you think you are better than him, that you can endure less, that you are more privileged or should be more privileged than him? So we are challenged and said, but we have to follow Jesus. What God commands us to do, we have to obey. We have to submit and say, God, your will be done. And we have to realize this is a race, not a 100-meter sprint the whole of our lives through, where we basically sprint from here, okay, God wants me to run now there. And I use the example, you've almost got this old radio that you tune it, just stand up. Okay, Lord, I'm standing. Okay, Lord, I'm standing. What must I do now? And you just miss the word of God. You just miss his voice. And you do not know where you are going. You do not know what you are doing. You do not know what path you are following. And you have to really be tuned into God. You have to listen. And this is where the race comes in, because we are so focused, we think we have to be super Christians. We have to run like crazy. We have to pray in tongues. We have to do this. We have to be healing. We have to do healing. We have to... And it's just not what God intended us to be, because this is a race. It's not a 100-meter sprint where you run flat out and after that you can barely stand. You just want to not fall over. But God made us the way that we are. He knows our limitations. He knows what we are capable of. And he wants to take us through that path. He wants to equip us. So if he tells you to run up the hill, he will know that you will be able to run up the hill and still be able to stand on that hill and defend yourself against the enemy when he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Because that is its end goal. He wants to make sure that you do not get to God, that you are not obedient to God, that he takes the glory from God and just let it fade away. But we as Christians have to focus on God and really allow him to say, listen, this is how I want you to run. It's not how you run. It's not how beautiful if you're running, what clothes you are wearing if you're running. It's that you are running it. You're moving. You're listening. You're being directed to God to say, listen, go slower. You're too fast. Or run a bit faster. You need to get to that point now, but I know you can do it. And he motivates you. He gives you just that strength to endure when times are tough, when times are going really, really tough. He's still there with you. He will direct you. It's only when we start, Lord, this pace is going, it's too slow for me. I need to run faster. And then you run faster, and then 2 miles down the line, you realize, oh, there's a hill. Now I have to run up this hill. Lord, I'm not going to run it. I'm not going to be able to do this in time. And just let the Lord direct you, direct your steps. Because we are called to do this. He wants us. He doesn't want to kill us in the race. He wants to save us by running the race and being able to endure it, to run it to completion, and to be perfect. And as winners, we don't have to run it the fastest. We just have to complete it. Doesn't matter how slow you are. It's your pace. You decide how far you can run. God tells you, listen, I'm training you. It's almost like this heart rate monitor. Okay, you're going too fast. And okay, you're not too slow. You have to speed up a bit. There's a hill coming. You have to save some energy so you can get on top and go over it. It's just the way that God wants to direct our paths, how he wants to use us. And just allow him to do that, because basically this is where he gives us that, just that strength to endure. But also more than that, to be conquerors. Because our testimonies, when we go through these processes, it builds our testimonies. What we've done, what we've achieved, we can say, God took me through this. This is my testimony. You cannot take this away from me. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimonies, which is so powerful, and what we have to share with the world. So God doesn't want you to run the race without any testimony. You just ran it. It's, Lord, I'm just focusing on the end goal. I'm not worrying about the people next to me or on the side of the road that's not going to make it. I just want to reach the end goal. That's not, Jesus is always running like this. I always see him, oh, there's somebody that needs help. And he veers off and he goes and helps them. And it's basically the same for us. We must run the race, but not forget the purposes that he set on us. We must be obedient. We must do what is right and good. If somebody stumbles, we can help them. We can help them. You cannot help somebody if you can't even help yourself. And it's to glorify God, to give him the honor for every victory, for everything that you've overcome. You can just say, God, I glorify your name, because I could not have done this on my own. this is who I am because you have made me. You did this in my life and just changed me. And this is what I can just testify of and honor you for. And that for us is so, so, so critical. Just to realize, yes, we're supposed to run. Yes, we are supposed to follow Christ in His image, in His example. But we can fail. It's not so important that we fail. But it's important that we keep on running and training. His grace is sufficient just to pick us up and say, listen, I saw that stone. It tripped you, but it's okay. Like Pastor Fred will say, it's for your plasterkie. Now can you further hardloop. And it's just His heart. And we have to have the same heart for the people. So what's your testimony like? How strong is your testimony to be able to go to the people in this world and say, listen, this is my testimony. This is who I am. This is where I'm coming from. This is where my strength lies. I'm not blinded by greed or money, or I'm obedient to Christ who leads me, who saved me and directs my paths. And this is who I am in Him. Not that I have to compete with you because I have the unfair advantage. He can direct my path and give me a shortcut. You don't have a shortcut. And that's just amazing to serve a God like that, that knows our every need, that wants to take us from strength to strength, from glory to glory, and allow us just to be who we can be in Him. And we do not have to be separate from Him. He does not want that. He wants to be in us. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. And that's just an amazing privilege to serve in God like that. Amen. Can we all just please stand? Father God, we just want to come this morning, Lord God, and just repent, Lord God, of so many times, Lord, that we fell, Father, and we feel sorry for ourselves, Lord God, but you just want us to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God, that we can stand before you, Lord God, and not feel ashamed because we fell, Lord, or that we grew tired, Father, that our strength grew, that our strength went, Lord God. We tried so hard by ourselves, Lord, but we realized that we cannot do this, Lord. We are so tired, we're so depressed, we so many issues in our lives, Lord God, but you just want to walk past those issues into our hearts and our minds and arrest our souls and tell us, listen, this is not who you have to be. This is not where you have to be. You can have my glory, which is more than sufficient to pick you up, to give you all that you want and need in abundance. You do not have to look around. You can just look onto me, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are walking ahead of us, Lord, that you want to take that path, Lord, that leads us to repentance, Lord God, that we can just realize, Lord, the amazing God that you are, the love that you have for us, and that we can follow you gladly wherever you lead us, Father. Even if it's to our own deaths, Lord God. It is more glorious to follow you and honor you, Father, than to try and save our own lives, Lord God. And that's just, if we just look at the price that you paid, Father, and your disciples, Lord God, that we cannot say, but Lord, your will be done and not ours, Father. That you give us the strength, Lord, to honor your will, to be obedient no matter what the circumstances or the cost, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your provision, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love and abundance, Lord, that just gives us that hope, Father, for the future. And more than that, Lord God, the hope for the people around us, Lord, that we can reach them, Lord, by the testimonies, Lord, and proclaim your blood, your holy blood, Father, that can set them free, Father, that can give them a hope, Lord. We just glorify your name for that in Jesus' name.